Unreliable socioeconomic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra on Foundation Radio every Saturday from 7 to 8:30 a.m.
Foundation Radio.
Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism.
Foundation Radio.
At last, there was a cabinet reshuffle, even though partial. Prime Minister Philemon Yang survives the storm, and his sister Ama Tutumuna is dumped. Friday, October 2, 2015, while most Cameroonians were focused on their TV sets watching a highly contested semi-final match between Cameroon and Nigeria at the Afro Basketball Championship playing in Yaoundé, President Paul Biya, in his unusual, or should I say usual, unexpected move, drops the bombshell at 5 p.m. news on state media. Minister Delegate at the Presidency in Charge of Defense, Joseph Betty Asomo, former governor of the Littoral Region. Minister Delegate at the Presidency of the Republic in Charge of State Audit, Madam Ba Achane Fomundam Rose Ngwari. Minister of Social Affairs, Madam Ngenene Kenfak Pauline Irene. Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Henry Eyebe Ayisi. Minister of Arts and Culture, Mwele Kombi Narcisse. Minister of Planning and Territorial Development, Ngale Bibehe Jean Masena. Minister of Youth and Civic Education, Mununa Fotso. Minister of Mines, Industries and Technological Development, Ngwabubu Ernest. Minister of Post and Telecommunication, Madame Libomli Liken. Minister of External Relations, Mbela Mbela Lejeune. Minister of Sports and Physical Education, Bidunquat Pierre Ismail. Minister of Transport, Edgar Alem Mebengo. Minister of Public Works, Ngandun Jumisi. Minister Delegate at the Ministry of Finance, Elung Poche. Minister Delegate for Secondary Education for Teachers Training, Bayola Boniface. Minister Delegate for Transport in Charge of Roads, Aina Uhanja Louis Max. The others remain unchanged. The presidential decree also appoint a new secretary general at the prime minister office in the person of Fuda Seraphim Magloa. Assistant secretary general at the prime minister's office, Guihe Kante Pascal, and special advisor at the presidency of the republic, Samba Dieudonné. With me in the studio is our senior advisor, Christopher Fogwe, to comment some of the changes. Christopher Fogwe, that decrees Amadou Toumouna has been sacked from the Ministry of Culture.
Well, it looks like she asked for it because she wasn't towing the line set by Prime Minister Young and was trying to be her own person rather than a team player. And I think that's why she was kicked out.
The squabble she also had with artists, especially when it concerned the management of authors' rights.
That's right. And I had somebody on Who Is Who 2 days ago saying, if you place the wrong persons in the wrong places, you will get bad results.
And the former Minister of Defense, Alain Edgar Mbengon, has been moved to Ministry of Transport, a less important ministry with no sovereignty. What should have accounted for this move?
Well, I don't know if he misplaced his foot somewhere along the Boko Haram booby traps and was seen to be a bit inadequate to handle a hot potato situation like the Boko Haram. That can be the only thing that would get somebody who was a real favorite of the president to be moved from a high position like that, where he was very close to the presidency, to the transport ministry, where he's going to be working, but with people who are running around.
You know, the Boko Haram is a hot potato. You remember in neighboring Nigeria, President Buhari has also given his defense staff a target, which if they don't meet, they will also be sacked. And so the security issues may have caused the head of Alain Mbengon. Now the appointment of Achar Rose Ne Fomundam, he's an Anglophone, to the Ministry of State Audit at the President of the Republic. Remember, yes. Madame Rose is from Momo. She is also a magistrate. Do we see the relaunching of the Operation Sparrowhawk against corrupt public officials? She is a woman. She is also a magistrate by profession.
Well, if we just had one audit department that had all the authority to be able to get into ministries at random and to check things out in a thorough manner and make heads to roll, then things will be working, because that system had operated before in the former West Cameroon, when we had the audit department that was considered to be the toughest and most feared ministry.
But I think Paul Biya giving confidence to a lady, a magistrate of that matter, I think we may be going in for some surprises in days ahead.
The fact is that it is not so much the person as it is the way and the program. Look at these other guys who are also fighting corruption, but they don't have the mandate to sanction. So they unearth irregularities and then they have to put the...
Anyway, there are some of them who are afraid to take the authority given them by the President of the Republic. We know that Madame Achar Rose Fomundam, magistrate, she is from Momo, and she has come in to replace her sister from the region, Madame Amadou Toumouna. Now, Ismaël Bidounkwa has come back to the Ministry of Sports. You remember, he is always referred to as a winning minister, and Cameroon had most of his trophies during the years, the glorious years of 2002, when we won the Olympic Games, we won two successive African Nations Cup. Do you think the president may just have brought him back to relaunch, I mean, the winning team that Cameroon had in the years gone?
That may be the case, and I think he's quite energetic when it comes to getting dynamized with things like sports, youth, education and stuff like that. And but I still think that the sports system is right now still on the rocks, because even the last election of FIFA,
we hope that Bidounkwa has come to put things straight, and he may just be a lucky minister, because that increased today Cameroon will play in the finals of the Afro Basketball Championship, and he may just be that lucky minister to win that trophy and hand it to the winning team, to Cameroon team maybe.
That would be fantastic for him.
And again, there is this other change. The former director of customs, Madame Libom Liliken, who has been moved to the position of Minister of Post and Telecommunication. I think Madame Liliken has not been doing badly as director of customs, and this should be a just compensation for him.
Oh yes, it's a beautiful compensation, and I like the fact that it's a woman who is going to head that ministry, because it's going to bring about some changes that a man couldn't have.
We are hoping so. That decrease, one other surprise change is that of Pierre Mukoko Bonjo, who has been replaced as Minister for External Relations by Mr. Mbella Mbella Lejeune, who is current ambassador to France. And during the appointment, Pierre Mukoko Bonjo was in New York during for the ongoing session of the General Assembly. And remember, of recent, just last week, President Paul Biya received a major mugu, so-called from France, trying to work out strategies to give Cameroon a clean face at the international level. Do you think this replacement, maybe Mukoko Mbonjo, has not been delivering the goods?
Well, if the person who was replacing Mbonjo was from somewhere else but France, I would have been pretty much, happy. But the fact that he comes in from France, and the fact that France has a tendency to direct what happens in Cameroon, can only augur something to me that is negative rather than positive. If it was somebody from New York or Canada or someplace like that, it will bring in some fresh air.
In any case, most Cameroonians believe that the West, or the so-called modern democracies, have the tendency of imposing on African countries, maybe not only France. Now, our Minister for Communication, Issa Chimra Bakary, government spokesperson, has been maintained. I think he's been playing his role very well.
Oh, yes, especially in crisis moments.
We want to say congratulations to our Minister, Issa Chimra Bakary. Above all, that decrease, Prime Minister Philemon Yang has been maintained in his job in spite of all speculations to the contrary.
But you must remember that this was just a cabinet reshuffle. was not what people were expecting, a change in government in a thorough manner, as to reflect that, to reflect the fact that not too long ago, the president said he was dissatisfied with the team.
But I think he maybe have been dissatisfied with the team, but he is confident in his prime minister.
Of course, yes.
And so Prime Minister Philemon Yang has also been maintained. I want to say congratulations. That it should be recalled that there have been 35 cabinet reshuffle in President Biya's 33-year reign. The last was in December 9, 2011. That was about 3 years, 9 months ago. But before I let you go, that decrees, old wine in old wineskin. Is there any need to be keeping same old people in a government that may not be delivering the goods and services, as even pointed out by their head, that is President Paul Biya?
That is a real question. That is the $20 million question. He himself said the team was non-functional. The people were expecting a lot more from him, but he has neither satisfied himself nor has he satisfied the people and their expectations. So for me, this is a non-starter.
Thank you very much, Christopher Fogwe, for being part of this program, News Extra on Foundation Radio. Priscilla Ninge has the pride of place to present the first paper in this edition of the program. She now takes us down the week and presents a retrospect of some of the important happenings during the week ending.
The week began on a hopeful note within the region with reports from the mayor of the Bali Council, Go Ajong Sevanos Ndobjima, that road projects were going to be given priority when funds are made available. The French ambassador to Cameroon, Christine Robichon, also laid the foundation stone for the maternity ward of the Nkwen Baptist Hospital. This was during a two-day visit to the northwest region. The six-story building will also host a dental care unit. As the week continued, a man was arrested for illegal possession and circulation of chimpanzee and mandrill. He was arrested, during a crackdown operation by the Menchum Divisional Office of Forestry and Wildlife in collaboration with LAGA. The vaccination of pets against rabies was also carried out in the Northwest region. The week evolved with news that the former governor and son of the Northwest region, Fayengo Francis, had been appointed the Pioneer Board Chairman of the newly created National Civil Status Bureau. On the national scene, the week began with an order to project managers and controllers of finance to stop issuing commitments on the 2015 state budget as from November 30, 2015. 50,000 vaccine doses were also made available for the vaccination of dogs against rabies. Cameroon's Minister of External Relations, Pierre Mokoko Bonjo, also headed the Cameroonian delegation to the 70th session of the UN General Assembly and presented a speech on how Cameroon intends to deal with the terrorist group Boko Haram. 33 fake certificates were also detected out of the 464 foreign papers submitted by candidates seeking the equivalent of certificates in Cameroon. This was ongoing as the Prime Minister and Head of Government, Philemon Yang, chaired the cabinet meeting for the month of September. Some 400 beneficiaries of the teaching and evaluation allowances in the Ministry of Basic Education contested a government decision to suspend payments as well as a call for refunds of allowances collected since 2007. Government also launched the recruitment of 205 researchers to work in the Ministry of Scientific Research within the 2015 financial year. It was revealed on World Literacy Day, October 1, that 38% of Cameroonians of the age group 15 to 45 years cannot read and write, while 8% of children aged 11 and 8 have never been to school. The World Health Organization released a report recommending that anyone tested HIV positive should start treatment immediately instead of waiting for symptoms, because early treatment extends lives. Elderly persons, on their part, celebrated World Elderly Day this week with a call to government and citizens to consider them as valued persons who can contribute massively to society. Rounding off the week was the news that over 4,000 Cameroonian pilgrims who took the pilgrimage to Mecca had begun returning home. While we had the sad news that another Cameroonian had been shot dead in Cape Town, South Africa. He was Usman Saibu, popularly known as Maman and Hild, from Sabga in Baba Kintungo. Out of the country, Nigeria has been removed from the list of polio endemic countries. The World Health Organization also said this was a milestone on the quest to eradicate the disease. President Muhammadu Buhari this week also called on Nigerians to stop what he terms the unruly behavior in order to achieve progress. Five young girls were also reported to be behind a series of deadly explosions in the northeastern Nigerian city of Maiduguri that took place on Thursday. Baboons in Zimbabwe briefly forced a radio station off air after apparently eating off the transmission cables. Hundreds of inmates at a prison in the Central African Republic escaped during clashes after a Christian militia killed a Muslim commercial motorcycle rider. General Gilbert Diendere, the leader of the last month's short-lived coup in Burkina Faso, was also reported to be in custody of the country's security forces. Officials from several countries said over 1,000 people had died in last week's stampede near Mecca during the annual Hajj pilgrimage, while a 47-year-old woman was executed in the U.S. state of Georgia. In sport, Tombi Aroko Sidiki was installed as president of the Cameroon Football Federation, CECAFOOT. The new president vowed to unite the body and to place emphasis on youth football and the development of infrastructure. Cameroon dropped 6 places on the FIFA classification table for the month of October, from 43rd to 48th. Those were some of the major events that made news this week.
Unfortunately, Priscilla Pierre Mukokombonjo was sacked as External Relations Minister while still in New York representing his country. Monday, October 5th will be commemorated as the International Teachers' Day. Teachers in Cameroon, just like others the world over, will surely honor tradition to celebrate their day, even if society, especially the authorities concerned, are still hesitant to grant teachers their right value. Lanze Vela now looks at the theme at the center of this year's celebrations, empowering teachers, building sustainable societies.
On October 5, 2015, teachers in Cameroon will join their counterparts all over the world in celebrating Teachers' Day. It will be an occasion for teachers to mobilize and highlight the importance of teacher empowerment for providing quality education and building sustainable societies for all, just like this year's theme, Empowering of Teachers, Building Sustainable Societies. It will be an occasion for them to stress the importance of empowering educators so that they can provide quality education and contribute to sustainable development. Teacher empowerment should entail the provision of decent working conditions, well-resourced, safe and healthy working environments, trust, professional autonomy, academic freedom, high-quality initial training, and continuous professional development, among others. But where education workers are facing precarious working conditions, are pressured by stringent standardization regimes, have no freedom to exercise their profession, and face a low status in society, the provision of high-quality education and its contribution to sustainable development remains a major challenge. In Cameroon, the major innovation to mark the day will be the award of medals of honor to some teachers who purportedly distinguished themselves upon the discharge of their functions. Yes, purported, because most teachers and teachers' associations have questioned the criteria that were used in selecting those eligible for honors. They even argue that most of the teachers, especially those in rural areas, who really endure the challenges of the profession, were never sensitized to this novelty. This therefore raises doubts as to the authenticity of the exercise and whether teachers in Cameroon are truly empowered when they, who belong to the same cohort, receive separate treatments. Whatever, teachers should bear in mind that this day is an occasion for each and every one of them to do a self-evaluation of their contribution towards the fight against illiteracy in the community. And there is no better way of achieving this paramount goal than loving that profession they were called into.
Ngan Sylvester Yengo is the Public Relations Officer, PRO, of the Teachers Association of Cameroon, TAC. In the following interview, Lanze Vela started by asking him what the teachers will be celebrating this year.
The teacher, together with the whole society, is supposed to be celebrating the teaching profession. I hesitate to use the word celebration because if it's about the teacher, like I said earlier, the teacher has very little to celebrate. But the world has everything to celebrate about the teaching profession that makes all other professions possible.
Okay. How much has this awareness raising changed? How much has changed in relation to the celebration of this Teachers' Day?
Over the years, the celebrations have come and gone. We do our best to create awareness, educate teachers. What is not changing, which is what we deplore, is the situation, the condition of the teacher, and the state of affairs in education in Cameroon. Because we expect to see the education family in Cameroon improve in its picture. But the editions come and go, but things seem to get from bad to worse in some domains. So we really wonder if this celebration is leaving something positive. We think that something we still have to be able to, you know, do the celebrations and move on to others, seeing some positive change in the life of the teacher and in the life of the education in Cameroon generally.
An unprecedented feature in this year's celebration is the award of medals of honor to some selected teachers. Are you first, as an association, aware of this innovation?
We are not only aware, we are the ones, together with other trade unions, who pushed this to fruition. because it was amongst the seven demands that the trade unions tabled to government some 3 years ago. And this is just one of the demands we had. And we are aware of it. We welcome it. But then we said it was the least of the teachers' demands, because it would, no doubt, you would tell the teacher, thank you for a job, well done, congratulations. But then the teaching profession, the teacher himself needs something more than that.
But what we say were the criteria used in selecting some of these teachers?
Not having been privy to information on all what concerned the selection, the only thing I would say is, first of all, teachers are required to apply, and a commission sat, like it did already. And I could say that the medal award for teachers is going in the same way as medal awards for workers generally during the 20th May celebration. And in that manner, it loses its value, because anything you award somebody for job well done should come as a surprise. You are supposed to be able to look at the profession and select, following some criteria I could not really tell, the best, and surprise them with these medals. It will make sense. People apply, and maybe eventually they will not only apply, but they will even pay and buy to be given medals. So the criteria for me is not known. But then, I won't say it's not known. Naturally, we know that longevity in service, outstanding performance as a teacher, and all what you can do in your profession to distinguish yourself can, you know, make you eligible for selection as a recipient.
Let's now talk about the theme of this year's celebration, which is empowering teachers, building a sustainable society. Would you say teachers in Cameroon have been empowered?
Empowerment of teachers in Cameroon is suffering. It is not effective. The theme is very pregnant as the others have come and gone. I remember we had to take a stand for the teacher, and we're asking ourselves, who is to take a stand for a teacher? It's just the same question we're asking ourselves, who is empowering teachers? First of all, we need to understand that when we talk of empowering teachers, because they are to build a sustainable society, that empowerment is intellectual, it is economic, and it is psychological. Intellectual empowerment has to do with what is the rigor in the selection of teachers for training, what's the rigor in training of teachers in Cameroon. And when we ask these questions and we look at what is prevailing, we are dismayed, because it is not very good. Many have called it garbage in, garbage out. And as a teacher who has been trained in Cameroon, I say this is very true. So there's a lot that has to be done in terms of in empowering teachers intellectually. Of course, economic empowerment has to do with the working conditions of the teacher. How comfortable are you as a teacher in your profession? Can you do your job without looking like a beggar? Can you do your job without wanting to go to other professions? That again is a problem, because the teacher in Cameroon is suffering tremendously. The worst is even teachers in the private sector. The private sector, I don't call it employment. What I call it is slavery. Churches and private individuals are enslaving people called teachers in the name of employment. And this is a serious crisis. A teacher cannot deliver his job, his lessons, if he is lacking financially. Another aspect of empowerment that we could talk of, to me, I could call it psychological empowerment. You could have all the strong intellect, you could be economically empowered, but does your environment, does the way the teacher is managed by the education authorities, does it give him that focused mind on his job? Is he stable? That again is problematic when we look at what is happening in our society. Psychological empowerment demands that the teacher, school administration should be teacher-centered, okay? When school administration is teacher-centered, eventually the teacher's activity will be child-centered. Teacher-centered school administration demands that school administrators master elements of human resource management that deal with the psychology of the worker. And in our schools, it's a serious crisis. Some principals are very destructive psychologically to teachers. Some school administrators are very destructive. And of course, some teachers are also destructive to others and to themselves. So it is a very serious issue. The stability of the mind of the teacher is an issue. And who are the stakeholders in the empowerment of teachers? It is the government or employers like the church, like I told you, and private individuals. Is the teacher himself? And it is a society. But then I don't blame society very much, because the society takes you the way you present yourself to society. And the way the teacher presents himself to society is determined by what intellectual empowerment and economic empowerment and psychological empowerment he has been given by his employer. So society has little to do in this. Society appreciates what it sees. So the teacher himself, the employers, we are supposed to sit up and redefine how teachers are empowered. And this goes also with all the stakeholders understanding and accepting that no nation can go above the standard of its teachers. We also have to understand that teachers make all other professions possible. And of course that education is a better safeguard of liberty than any standing army can be. If we all understand this, especially those who have power to change things in Cameroon, I tell you, in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, every person wants to become a teacher.
Apart from the award of medals of honor to some teachers who've been able to distinguish themselves, how would the celebrations this year be different from the previous ones?
I think that's the only thing that is coming in as an innovation. Otherwise, it's a normal routine. But then, talking about the Teachers' Day activities precisely in Bamenda, organizers, which are the Ministry of Secondary Education in the Northwest, have included a key feature, which is a gala night that will take place in the Bamenda Congress Hall at 8 p.m. on Sunday. This is a new thing on the program of the Teachers' Day celebration, and we invite all teachers and all other invitees that will be invited to come around and at least give some, you know, beauty to the event.
No nation can grow above the standards of its teachers. Ngan Sylvester Yengo, the Public Relations Officer of the Teachers Association of Cameroon, TAC. Now, let's meet the actors themselves. News Extra man with the roving microphone, Wunja Leslie, asked some teachers if they were satisfied with their job.
Madam, can you tell us whether you are satisfied with your job as a teacher?
I'm not. Reasons being that we are being treated like dogs. Because like teachers in basic education, we are supposed to be at least respected. But the government is tossing us all around the whole place. Even we work with the mission, but we don't know whether we are satisfied with the mission or not, because it's still the same problem. We are not being respected as teachers.
Yes, I am Chiku Pintolin from GS Alamanto, class 4 teacher. I'm very satisfied as a teacher. Because the fact that we have a day like a teacher's day, I think the teacher, a teacher is honored to end the profession, is a noble one. I am not satisfied because of the way the primary school teachers are being treated. The way they treat the secondary school teachers, especially the ELS, when they just come out from school, they are being posted. But with the primary school teachers, they are not being posted. They will stay for about 4 or 5 years before they even talk of recruitment. Even for how many years they have not been head of recruitment. And they are not even recruiting the teachers. And the pay package is not even encouraging. Because the primary school teachers, they do a lot of work. Every day they are in school. But with the secondary school teachers, they go to school twice a week. At times, they even teach, somebody will take one subject or two subjects. But with the primary school teachers, they will take the whole, they will teach everything. But they are not paid. So I'm not really satisfied.
As a teacher, I am satisfied for one thing, that we have been honored and a day has been set aside for us to celebrate this day. On the other hand, I am not satisfied because there are so many teachers in the field there that they have worked for more than 10, 15 years and yet they don't have the advancement. But I always hear the minister say, the ministry will say the automatic advancement. I, for one, I am talking. As you advancement from 2005 up to now, I've not had one single advancement. I've sent documents to the ministry several times. They will tell you that documents are missing.
I'm Mumandam Valentine, the principal of Sunrise College, Mankun. With your question of if I'm satisfied, I would say that to an extent. First, the issue is that as a teacher, I love the vocation because we communicate and impart the knowledge on the young Cameroonians. But when it comes to issue of take home, that is where we'll certainly be saying that to an extent, because the teacher still needs a lot. Remember that the teacher is a role model, and everyone passes through a teacher. And so the, in fact, there are so many things that the teacher is still lacking. And once they are put in place, I hope that the teacher will be the most happy person in the society.
My name is Mr. Cho Napoleoni, and I'm a teacher in Sunrise College, Mankan. I think I am satisfied as a teacher because I really wish to impact what I have in me as knowledge to students. And I also consider students as my young ones, so why not transmit what I have in me to them?
I am satisfied as a teacher because I think that the job is what I like doing. I like teaching to bring others to be like me. But on the other part of it, because you will not only work, you need to have a take home. And I want to say that the take home in Cameroon is still not satisfactory. Looking at the numerous needs that we have. And I want to say that if we want to link it to the Teacher's Day that is coming up on Monday, I would say the teacher is neglected, because if you look at other ministries, other forums, they are assisted to celebrate a day that belongs to them, but the teacher is left to find her way or his way on that day, which makes us not feel satisfied.
Well, as a teacher, I am satisfied. I am satisfied because the teaching profession is a noble profession. And I am also treating the student as a parent. I take the children as a parent. I see the children in a way I also want my own children to be taught. So I love my job as a teacher. Although the remunerations are not good, because of the love I have for the children, I make sure that I do my job and I do it well. I do it good, because I know that these children will become the leaders of tomorrow. Without us, we know that the children are equally going to take the relay battle and lead our country to a better place.
I'm Bimet, the head teacher of Vision Bilingual Nursery and Primary School. I'm very satisfied being a teacher, because the teaching field is a field that needs people that are devoted, that are willing to work. It's not for money, because the work is very tedious. So I feel very satisfied when I see my children improving, when I change, it makes me very happy.
Yeah, Madam Joyce, Mercy Joyce, Vision Bilingual Nursery and Primary. From my sixth teacher, I am satisfied as a teacher because coming in the profession, there are some ethics and there are some rules and regulations. And I did accept those rules and regulations before I came in the profession.
To all the teachers, we say Happy Teachers' Day after all. Despite the recent vaccination and World Rabies Day campaign, stray dogs continue to roam the streets of Bamenda and its suburbs. Christopher Fogwe is of the view that the rather brief once-a-year event to eradicate rabies in Cameroon cannot be effective unless the issue of stray dogs is conclusively dealt with and recalcitrant and negligent animal owners penalized.
The World Rabies Day for the year 2015 has come and gone. During the brief vaccination campaigns conducted by the officials of the Ministry of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries, Cameroonians were reminded that our country continues to be one of the few countries still endemic to rabies, and that one case of rabies is one case too many. To the average Cameroonian who has probably never seen a rabies victim, such a victim is usually thought of as one who has gone mad from being bitten by a mad dog. Medical and veterinary doctors, for their part, tell us that rabies is an acute, often fatal, contagious infection of the central nervous system caused by a specific virus that enters the body through the bite of an infected animal. In our region, and specifically here in Bamenda and its peripheral towns and in suburbs, Stray dogs still roam our streets unperturbed. The recent campaign to vaccinate dogs, cats, and pets were not accompanied by any efforts to catch or get rid of the stray dogs that continue to endanger people, especially children who ply our streets. It is equally evident that dog and pet owners who pay no heed to the campaigns to have their animals vaccinated even for free are hardly ever penalized, not even when the animals bite children. What seems clear is that impunity reigns unabated as a result of the nonchalance of municipal and law enforcement officials. One would also expect the officials of the Ministry of Public Health and of the Veterinary Services of the Ministry of Livestock, Fisheries and Animal Industries to continuously sensitize and raise awareness of the public, especially dog and pet owners, on their responsibilities to take good care of their animals and to restrain them from harming people.
Christopher Fogwe, just as there are council traffic police, maybe the council authority should start thinking of putting in place another form of police, dog police, maybe call them dog catchers. Earlier in the week, Prime Minister Philemon Yang launched a campaign for the civic responsibility in Cameroon. Though the urgency of this move was not explained, Atanga Tanashos opines that this was timely, especially as Cameroonians were becoming more and more irresponsible towards state property.
If one were to ask if Cameroonians are truly responsible in exercising their duties and public behavior, then the answer would be no. Cameroonians at all levels are trying as much as possible to drag the name of this nation in mud. At first, civic responsibility was seen at the level of the citizens, but now the administration is also taking a nosedive in public misbehavior and no respect of rules and regulations. If the issue of civic responsibility was not that important, then it wouldn't have rung any bells at the Prime Ministry, causing the head of government to react. Cameroon's Prime Minister Philemon Yang early this week launched a campaign for civic responsibility for Cameroonians and non-nationals. The Prime Minister could not have made a mistake to caution Cameroonians on how they manage state properties at a time when administrative officials are becoming so corrupt that they don't do their work effectively. Cameroonians smoke, urinate and even defecate in public places with no regret. If Cameroon do not have street lights today, then it is due to the reckless nature of some drivers who uncontrollably run into these street lights, bringing their existence to an end in a very short while. If you were to ask how many Cameroonians do respect the national anthem by standing at attention, you would be surprised to know that majority don't. The way public buildings are managed is a call for concern, as those who work there do not even clean the surroundings or repair minor problems. The way service cars are being abused for private purposes leaves one to wonder how Cameroon will emerge with this type of mentality by Cameroonians. As we strive for a better responsible citizens, those who bribe, embezzle and corrupt should know that they are not responsible citizens. Cameroon is one of the countries in the world noted for scamming, as young boys and girls sell fictitious dogs and cats on the internet. At the end of the day, we ask the question, which picture are they pasting to the world about Cameroon? How responsible are those who continue to twist their constitutions to favor their stay in power? Are they responsible Cameroonians? There are Cameroonians who find fun in playing with the head of state effigy, making him a skeleton, and many more. At the end of the day, dragging the nation's name in mud. There are Cameroonians who find pleasure in violating basic rules put in place by the state. How will you describe a citizen who has his or her national identity card and decides to disturb the police officer on duty by picking a quarrel with him? As the state preaches civic responsibility, some of our churches are not left out, as they produce noise from their speakers, therefore disturbing the peace of those in and around the neighborhood. There are journalists who find it a duty to incite violence in their programs and reports they do. then how responsible are we? At the end of the day, we see that no one is free when it concerns civic responsible behavior. I hope the Prime Minister's call will not go in vain.
Atanga Atanasios, yes, such unruly behavior should be condemned. 2 years after the suspension of copyright bodies in Cameroon, especially SOCAM, a handful of musicians selected using criteria that many of them could not define stormed Yaoundé like beggars to get what some of them considered peanut copyright dues. Lem Sandra from Mojang monitored for News Extra.
This copyright payment is a first since almost 2 years, as further governance problems brought the authorities to suspend the activities of SOCAM, managed since the beginning of the year by a normalization temporary committee. But with the improvement, many beneficiaries have rubbed their hands, as far as they declared to have not benefited anything since more than 2 years back. The process of reorganizing the artist files was much appreciated by several artists, since in the past, managers and backdoor musicians collected the copyright dues instead of the real artist. More than 100 million francs was made available for this year's distribution, and specifications were made following categories. The distribution rates fell within 100,000 francs for those classified in Category 5 to 1 million francs for those in Category 1 per artist. Their remuneration is the fruit of a special order signed by the head of state, Paul Biya, and a total of 1,328 artists from Cameroon's 10 regions benefited from it. Though an attempt to appreciate the efforts of a Cameroonian artist, there should be questions on why all the artists did not benefit from these dues, as well as the criteria used in choosing the artist fit to benefit. When it has to do with the various categories, does it imply aspects of content, lyrics, choreography, style, location of shooting the video, image quality, popularity, or maybe the number of years in the music industry? These are some questions that obviously need answers. Mr. Augustine Kinney is an all-round artist, a consultant, curator, and a musician. He now gives an analysis to the situation of author and copyright in Cameroon.
The thing is that before you make copyright, you must study the system. Because in Cameroon, we don't really have a real copyright. It's still the old system of SACEM, which was brought by France and all that. Those who are even getting copyright rights in the music, there are few. And then those who work with the what they call intellectual property organization, which we have in Cameroon. But then, not everything is being done systematically. You see, the way they are doing it, for instance, once you have a good lab of property preservation, then you can register the people and pay them adequately. But in Cameroon, what I notice is that it is just a haphazard thing done. And there are amateurs, but even the organization is at the will of the president. Why should money come out from the president to give to artists? Whereas in the rights of intellectual property is that whatever you produce, that should be registered, and whoever uses it should pay you a sum, starting with the radio, the television, and all the other bodies. It should not be the president who, for his largesse, will remove money and say, this is for the artist. That is wrong. It should be done by an institution which is really, who has people who are competent. But in Cameroon, the problem is that you don't have even competent people. Who is a musician in Cameroon? Who is an artist who has studied, who knows the right? But they'll take a useless person and put him as head of art. No, you must study the subject, must know what it entails to be human property before you put somebody there. But Cameroon, as it is, they take they put round pegs in square holes. So you all square or put pegs, square pegs in round holes. But the thing is that they don't put the right person in the right place. To develop any system, you must see the background of everybody and what his curriculum vitae is. We are no more living in a primitive world where a farmer could leave the farm and come and run an office. So we can say, and some people told me that, oh, to be a president, you don't need to know book. I say it's nonsense. How, if you don't know book, how will you know the global economy, or you know about the global politics? You must be an intellectual. You must somehow learn the basics. So in every field, people must learn the basics. This nonsense where you have a minister of health who is not even a doctor or a nurse, or you have a minister of education who is not even an educator. So you should take people who have studied in the field and put them in the right place. Don't go and put somebody who does not even know how to manage the thing. So when I say the artists, they will not know what is happening. I don't like this idea of giving money that they have allotted so many billions for artists. But will that be sustainable? But when you have an institution that is working and they know that whoever, there's a lot of plagiarizing in Cameroon. There's a lot of people using people's works without paying them. But if you say you are using somebody's work, either in teaching or in the school or in the radio or in the television or just for pleasure by listening, you should pay for it. So even the system, when Longe Longe went around and was kicking away these people who plagiarize, who steal music, they should have instituted even a police, because you know, in Europe and in other places which are civilized, you get people who go around. You cannot copy people's music and sell. I even see boxes that are standing on the road saying they are copying. How can you? Because you don't even suffer as much as the artist. Then you have the guts to buy an instrument to be copying music and don't even give the artist. I wouldn't. So the country, they have not even set up police. I mean, there should be musical police or art police, because you know what they call Commissaire Priseur is an art institution which special you qualify in to understand art so as to follow to see whether they are stolen or not. But we don't have them in Cameroon.
Ezao is a Northwest-based musician whose name did not unfortunately feature on the list of musicians selected to receive copyright dues. He stormed Foundation Radio to express his frustration. In spite of his worries, his guitar is always by his side.
I don't work at all country, sad work and find money, yeah, never see more. I don't go for ya wounded, I go for find money, yeah, never see more. I don't go for Douala, I go for find money, yeah, never see more. I don't go for Kumba town, no, I go for find money, yeah, never see more. Now me this for Bamenda, I go for find money, yeah, no this year mo mama, oh, where money no day, where, oh, money no day, oh, mommy, yeah, money no day, oh, papa, oh, money no day, where, oh, I don't be in attack, attack for find money, yeah, never.
Excellent one work done there. And do you feel happy being an artist?
Well, I was talented to be an artist. I really love it because I was talented by God. But considering the situation of our country, I don't really feel being happy being an artist at this moment.
Do you feel appreciated?
Well, I'm not appreciated. Especially by my own government, I'm not appreciated because I don't see the effort of the appreciation. I don't see something that our government have done, or my society have done to me to really appreciate me in my work done.
Azal, there was a recent reception of over 1,000 artists of their copyright dues. Were you part of them?
I wasn't, but I was supposed to be part of them because I'm a full-fledged member of, we started with the Sosoneda, which I joined Sosoneda 2001 to 2002. Till today, I've been a full member, but I don't know what is happening with my name in Yaoundé. I don't know what they used to say, follow up dossiers. I don't know whether that's it that they need, that they should follow up, I don't know. But actually, I refreshed my name during the time of SOCAM, still yet I don't see why my name shouldn't be in the ministry.
So what are the criteria used for classification of category of levels or for reception of dues?
Well, I know that we start with adherent. When you be adherent, after that you go to stagiaire, to sociétaire. After that, when you are a sociétaire, you have start having enough money. But I don't think I'm even mentioned in adherent because since long I've been seeing my mates that we joined together, they are raising them up. But I keep on asking this question: why is it that my name is not appearing? Then until the extent that I went to Yaoundé and refreshed name, till today I have not found my name. The last payment that took place a few days ago, I thought they will even pay me in arrears because I've been lack of this budget for long.
I know the recent payment of dues has brought a lot of controversy, so many disagreements, disappointment, among others. What do you really think is happening?
Well, I will not actually know what is happening because I've tried to question my colleagues. I question people like Tebazo, I've questioned people like Sanfan Thomas, I've questioned many other people that are so close to me, but I don't actually know what is going wrong until my colleagues went down to Yaoundé. They came back with anger. They say the money that they classify them on it is not correct. I don't know why. Is it in terms of the classification like we are talking about adherent, stagiaire and société? I don't know what is happening. Because many people cry that the money they gave them, they are supposed to give to another artist, but they gave to them. I don't know the confusion that is going on. But I know that since the Prime Minister involved himself in this matter, I know that this matter will be treated. Because I don't know why, for a long time, I've not been paid. And music, we are facing a lot of piracy in the society. We don't more have concerts. Even if we want to take you to a concert, they'll take you for a token. Just to compensate you, that's how Cameroonians are doing now. So if they don't pay us this money, we see no need to be doing music in Cameroon. And music is part of the thing that we consume more in Cameroon. There's nothing without music, my sister, as I'm telling you. Even in church, we need music. Everywhere we need music. Even in society houses, they need music to comfort themselves. So I don't actually know why. They can pay teachers, they can pay other people, but they don't think that music is a profession that the government should involve in it and take it serious and pay us even monthly.
Do you think most of those Northwest musicians and artists who came back home disappointed, do you think they felt disappointed because they felt like they were treated not fairly because they were Anglophones or from Bamenda?
Well, if it is that for that, I wasn't in Yaoundé, so I don't know how they treated them. I just saw them on the CRTV, how they interviewed. Most of them, they were angry. So I wasn't there. I don't know whether it's because of the Anglophone or Francophone matters.
But from the explanations?
Well, I just suggest it should be that. But I don't really know.
All right. As a musician, do you sing just your own music or do you actually interpret other musicians?
Well, I don't sing all my own music because I'm a full-fledged musician. I'm not a choir singer. I practically sing and play my guitar, play drums, I play all kind of instruments that makes music.
So can we get something?
All right. I would like to play, let me see, I would like to play a song of one of my colleagues in Bamenda here.
Sawale,
sawale o mama o sa ele mama e sawale 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 o mama o sa o ti wanu le kana idi konso oh o ti wanu le kana idi konso oh sawa de wa le kana idi konso oh sawale how we go do mama o sawale how we go do mama o sawale.
Ezao there replaying Niken, how we go do. How are artists really going to do, Ezao? Our hope is that the newly appointed Minister of Arts and Culture, Mwele Kombi Narcisse, will consider the plight of Cameroonian artists across the board a priority.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding onto past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one, but with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
You are listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100 Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson at the anchor. October 1st each year is celebrated as the International Day of the Elderly. This year's theme is sustainability and age inclusiveness in urban environment. Just like every year, the elderly persons called on government in Cameroon and citizens to consider them as valued persons who have a role to play in the development of the country. Tebo Sharon is the Monitoring and Evaluation Officer of the Community Volunteerism for Technical Assistance, CDVTA, whose main aim focuses in the old. What are some challenges facing the elderly, especially in urban centers? She attempts answers to questions put in by Lazabella.
Well, an elderly person by the UN standards is somebody who is 60 plus. But with CDVTA Cameroon, we say an elderly person may start from the age of 50 and above. And then also the theme of this year, which says sustainability and age inclusiveness in urban environments, is a call for concern. Why? Because we are not only looking at the impact of the new urban environment on older people, but we are also looking on the impact of older people on the new urban environment. This to say we would like to critically look at structures put in place in the urban area, whether they are favorable for older people. To the best of my knowledge and abilities, I don't think they are favorable, because sometimes the elderly people will have to climb a staircase to come up to an office to meet with an official or so. That is not good for their health. But on the other hand, too, some structures like banks and other facilities are beginning to put a movement-friendly structure which is other than the staircase. Some of the challenges which the elderly people face, they are suffering from social exclusion. They have financial difficulties. Some of them are unable to meet up with their basic needs. They have inaccessibility to basic health services. And some of them are left to cater for their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren who lost their parents to common diseases, sometimes like HIV and AIDS and other kinds of illnesses. And then sometimes they have ailments that come with aging. Some have hard hearing, some have weak bones, they are not able to walk distances, some of them have eye problems. And then to celebrate this day, CDVTA will not be doing any official celebration at the regional level here in Bamenda, but the communities where we work, that's in Boyo, in Bui, in Oku, in Momo, they'll be doing celebrations at their local level. And during the celebrations, they will have activities like dancing, they'll have competitions, eating competition, laughing competition, dancing competition. During this, on this day, they will have prize awards to the best competitors. And then they usually benefit little support from government offices and some individuals in the community who support the activities. So at the national level, CDVT is not going to do anything for now, but in their communities, we are going to carry out those kind of activities. So we also sensitize them on hygiene and sanitation. They always say that cleanliness is next to godliness. We are helping them to be neat, to avoid some kind of sicknesses that come with being dirty. We also carry out home visits to the elderly people. Some of the elderly people are housebound elderly people. So we go into their homes, we commune with them, we sometimes help them to keep their environments clean, we sensitize their children, their grandchildren on how to keep the compound clean. Then CDVTA also is in the into the solidarity scheme. During these home visits, we meet with the very old people, the housebound elderly people, and then CDVTA supports these people with blankets and lamps. Asking about how CDVTA can intervene in a community. CDVTA doesn't just move into a community. A community which knows about CDVTA will have to apply for CDVTA's intervention. So when you apply, you have to, it has to be written by the traditional leader of the community and then endorsed by social affairs and maybe the DO, and then a letter sent to CDVTA. It is from the enthusiastic nature of the community that CDVTA will be able to come into the community to start work, and also with the availability of funds, because CDVTA works as per project. I would just like to give a word of advice that aging is a stage of life which cannot be avoided, and it is very important for everyone to ensure that people can grow old with dignity and continue participating in society as citizens with full rights. No elderly person should be despised or disrespected because he is old. I think this is time for us to give the maximum respect, make our urban environments comfortable for elderly people, because we too will get to that stage, and I pray God we have the opportunity to see old age.
From one international day to another, one more day has been added on the list of days celebrated by the United Nations. It is the International Coffee Day. The first official commemoration was last October 1st, maybe because coffee is good for the elderly, as October 1st is also their day. This day seeks to celebrate coffee's journey of diversity, quality, and passion. Priscilla Ninge.
Every day, over 2.6 billion of cups of coffee is consumed, either in offices, schools, homes, as well as other social or political gatherings. Sometimes, with little knowledge by the consumers that coffee is not just consumed for satisfaction, but that it goes a long way to energize and keep people alert as they go through their daily functions. Thus the reason for the theme, Feeding the Planet Energy for Life. Also, it should be noted that sustainable coffee cultivation and fair trade practices in the industry will go a long way to help the 25 plus millions of families in over 65 countries in the world that it employs. However, though most often we enjoy a warm cup of coffee before going to work, the effect of climate change is making that a difficulty, as 37 out of 50 countries with the highest deforestation rates are coffee producers, with annual production rate of 148 million of 60 kg bags and consumption expected to rise by 25% worldwide in the next 5 years. It is no surprise then that with the effect of coffee production on climate change and deforestation, the United Nations decided to institute the International Coffee Day. The day was followed by a global coffee forum, not just on the importance of the sustainability of coffee production, but also on the need to regulate consumption so that it doesn't become a drug or that production doesn't destroy our ozone layer. Like the theme says, Feeding the Planet, Energy for Life.
Mr. Winding Timothy Ntam is the general manager of the Northwest Cooperative Association, NWCA, that practically handles production and marketing of coffee in this region, where everyone is directly or indirectly related to coffee.
The Northwest Cooperative Association Limited was created some 65 years ago, and it's a three-tier structure, meaning that it has 43 primary cooperative produce marketing societies at the base, has about 9 secondary cooperative unions at the middle, and the apex NWCA. All of them have different roles in the structure. The primary societies is where preliminary controls are carried out. That's where coffee is accepted directly from the farmers. The secondary cooperative unions is where the coffee is hauled and picked, sorted and graded. And at the level of NWCA, that is where the coffee's exportation is carried out. That is where internal audit services are provided to the unions. It is equally from the apex that we provide engineering services, and then we procure farm inputs and deliver to farmers at competitive prices. The Northwest Cooperative, at the level of NWCA, we used to export about 12,000 tons of coffee. That is in the early 80s. But as at 2013, it went down to a meager amount of 109. And in 2014, it changed. The situation changed a little bit upwards, and the production increased to 239. And at the point of talking to you, we are about 600, meaning that at least we have started improving. And at NWC also, as I said, is out also to deliver farm inputs to farmers at competitive prices. Government at times also plays a big role and gives us subventions to buy fertilizers with which we give to farmers at subsidized prices. And of recent, government too has taken an initiative to negotiate with the farmers and deliver the fertilizers directly to them. Like this year, through FODEC, farmers in our unions like Boyo and Momo received more than 2,000 bags of fertilizers free of charge. All in all, NWCA remains the biggest coffee and cocoa cooperative in the Northwest region in particular, and amongst the first three in the Republic of Cameroon. And it has played a very big role in the socio-economic development of the Northwest region. And I can say that there is no Northwesterner now who is handling a big position, maybe in government or in private sectors, that the coffee has not played a role in his education. Coffee remains a very important crop for the development of Cameroon.
Coffee gives energy. Maybe let me sip from my cup of coffee to have some energy before I continue with the program. Meanwhile, the technician give us some break so that we get into our mailbox. That was good coffee. Okay, it is time we bring you some letters that got into our mailbox this week and shall be read to us in a moment by Guillaume Sandra Fomuja. The first letter comes from Celestine Bimai of Maifrinquen. He has an axe to grind with the road safety agents that have practically invested Bamenda.
Hello, staff of Foundation Radio. I am happy that I have the opportunity to write. I feel very uncomfortable with the traffic situation in town. I speak especially to these road safety officials and temporary transport car park operators. Please let the Council of Nkwen area send away all those operating parks around there because it is so rampant in Nkwen. You can sit in a taxi for about an hour when you are in Nkwen because the place is so tight. Road safety officials should also stop collecting bribes and do their work well because they also increase traffic when they insist on troubling car owners for money instead of doing the right thing.
Stanse Laye of Mtamben wants inhabitants to keep their surroundings clean in order to avoid dangerous stray wild creatures.
Greetings to you all. Thank you for letting me give a few words of caution. We are all aware we are gradually getting into the dry season. So many persons have already quoted instances of contacts with snakes and other deadly things. Please keep your houses and surroundings very neat, especially clearing all bushes around our houses. These reptiles come out a lot when the sun shines, as well as they like hidden and dark places. Caution is very necessary.
And Ayo Ramsey, in the last letter, appeals to council authorities to clear off the heap of dirt around the St. John Catholic Church. That should be in Queen.
Hi, staff and listeners of Foundation Radio. It is my pleasure to write and express my worries. I am an inhabitant of Funcha Street, and I join my voice with the others to plead with the council to come clear off the mountain of dirt found around the St. John's Catholic Church. That place really stinks, and you can't even pass around there without covering your nostrils. I wonder if the council workers really do their regular checks. If not, they would notice the dirt there. Please, council, act fast.
We wait for your letters on email radio.foundation@yahoo.com, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can also text us or call us on the number 670-23804-5695-568-480, and Foundation Radio shall be at your service. After all, we are the voice of the voiceless. That the election saga at the Cameroon's football governing body, FECAFOOT, may have been buried may be good omen that the country's football might witness a rebirth. But this dying football would only receive a new lease of life if the new FECAFOOT strongman, Tombi Arokosidiki, tackles those problems that have engulfed it with tact and courage. Lanza Vela.
The perennial election problems at the Cameroon's football governing body, FECAFOOT, have been buried with the recent election of Tombi Arokosidiki as president of this football management body that has been mired in problems for years now. This therefore means that Tombi Arokosidiki now shoulders the responsibility of rejuvenating Cameroon's football, which lately has known only a downward trend. And to be able to live up to expectations, the new FECAFOOT boss must tackle rigorously the ills denting the country's football, ills which apparently are hydra-headed. First, organizational quality and probity, as well as player development. The latter might not be thought such an issue, as the country has produced talents that have plied their trades in some of Europe's best clubs. And so, Cameroon is one of the few African countries that have assembled tactically astute players with mental gifts needed to wield football wonders. But surprising enough, the wonders have not been wielded yet. So, Tombi Arokosidiki should dig to know why a collection of finest football actors in the continent has not been able to win a silverware for over 8 years today. Then, there is the chaotic, often allegedly corrupt administration. This is not unique to Cameroon, but the country seems to have suffered more than most. It has had 22 coaches in 24 years. And one reason coaches appear to quit is interference in team selection from government or Cameroon FA officials, or because wages are paid late or not at all. The players suffer similarly. The airport standoff with Cameroon arriving late to competitions due to a row over bonuses. Such rows and the state of the nation's football infrastructure makes observers wonder where the cash earned from their World Cup appearances and related sponsorship has gone. These are vices Tombi Arokosidiki will need to address. Interesting enough, he acknowledged the division existing among the major football actors and promised to restore unity, which absence has made all our football endeavors to draw a blank. Otherwise, our football infrastructure is more or less a basket case, a pathetic situation for a country whose great national reputation comes from football. In his 11-point project presented during the race for the FECAFOOT top job, Tombi Arokosidiki revealed his intentions to construct better football infrastructure in areas that wouldn't be part of Africa's greatest football communion, the Africa Cup of Nations in 2019, when Cameroon will host. the new Feka footballers shouldn't forget that the advice of many football technocrats has been for government to invest in the construction of football academies from which local talents could be scouted. Hence, the realization of the promised Anna Foot by the head of state should be what the Feka Foot president should champion firmly. Not forgetting that our local Division 1 championship greatly needs a kiss of life as it already is in a moribund state. Matches are played in virtually empty stadiums and clubs as well as players can hardly have a favorable share of the gate takings. All these, among other problems, await Tombia Roko Siddiqui. So the question is the end of the Feka Foot election saga the end of football crisis in Cameroon? The answer is anyone's guess.
Lanza Vela. Every week henceforth, freelance journalist Francis Nguaniba will reflect on an issue of national interest, either a story he has covered in his long years as a journalist or just his personal reflection on a matter of national importance. Today, he looks at the election of Tombi Aroko Siddiqui as new Feka Foot president following two turbulent years when Feka Foot was managed or mismanaged, as some would like to say, by a normalization committee created by the World Football Governing Body and headed by Professor Joseph Ohuna. Here we go.
Early this week, the not-so-organized football governing body, Feka Foot, managed to put his acts together and voted Tombi Aroko Siddiqui his new president. The federation only managed to do this, as usual, with threats of suspension from FIFA, the international football governing body. Remember, FIFA itself is a very embattled football governing federation. Tombi Aroko Siddiqui's victory was more than a landslide. He will now replace Joseph Ohuna, who managed to stay on for more than 2 years, mismanaging what was named a normalization committee. Nothing was ever normal in his management style during that period. Of course, he was a creation of FIFA. The last time Feka Foot delegates picked a president was in 2013, and the chosen one then, Iya Mohammed, was safely tucked in preventing detention at the Kondege Maximum Security Prison on allegations of embezzlement. How Feka Foot delegates managed to elect someone in prison who did not even vote himself is still a mystery to most sports observers in and out of Cameroon. I was in the university in 1990 when Milan Rogier and his teammates stomped to the quarterfinals of the World Cup in Italy. A certain English player, Gary Lenica, and a very biased Hungarian referee stopped the Lions in their ambition of dominating world football. They could have easily gone to the semi-finals and why not win the World Cup? Back then, we had determined, selfless and patriotic football players, unspoilt by the fame and money that is awash in football today. As a result of their 1990 exploits, Cameroon became the first African country to get to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Stunned by their performance, FIFA, of course, increased African participation at the World Cup from 3 to 5 teams. When Cameroon qualified for the World Cup in 1990, Feka Foot had officials who, though not exactly saints, had a bit of interest in the growth of the game. Since 1990, however, Cameroon has never gone beyond the first round of the competition. The problem with Cameroonian football today is the same problem afflicting the whole nation state. Corruption is rampant. There are no checks and balances. People are appointed to run structures they have no connection or clue of what it takes to manage. The biggest single problem is the unpatriotic behavior of most state officials. They mostly think they are appointed or elected to make themselves rich at the expense of the poor and vulnerable people in society. Tombi Aroko, the new Feka Foot president, is a close ally of the disgraced and imprisoned Iya Mohammed. His election, or what some will want to call selection, will do little to change the poor state of the game in the country.
Putting old wine in new bottles is how one observer described his election. For Cameroon football to get back and perform as the Lions did in 1990, you need patriotic football-loving technocrats who will support youth football, invest in sports infrastructure, raise the standards of the game, and of course, avoid dipping their itchy fingers into money needed to develop youth football and talent across the country. That, as you and me know, is a very tall order, but not an impossible task. Let's just wait and see what happens. Tam tam atonge tam zabike tam 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 amote tam zabike mane tam bien inyane injo byayen.
Special correspondent there, Francis Ngwandiba. It is time for a review of some of the publications that hit the newsstands in Cameroon this week, read, reviewed, and now presented by Atanga Atanasios.
Chronicle newspaper opens the review this week with politics, where the paper captioned on page 2 in its Wednesday's edition, "Panic as NUDP invades Batibo SDF stronghold." The paper reports that the militants of the leading opposition party, the Social Democratic Front, SDF, were visibly frightened over the massive turnout of the population during the National Union for Democracy and Progress, NUDP, joint installation of the branches, subsections and sections of the party at Guzang village of Batibo subdivision. The paper adds that the groundbreaking occasion brought militants from Jeng, Besi, Gugwe, Anyong, Ewu and Teben, during which over 300 SDF and CPTM militants decamped to UNDP party. The French ambassador's visit to Bamenda, according to Chronicle, turned out to be a political one. The paper says though Christian Robichen came to Bamenda for health issues, he paid a visit to the SDF national chairman Ni John Frundi at his Tarinkon Palace. The paper says no press statement was made, which therefore gives room for speculations that the diplomat could have brought advice from his head of state, Francois Hollande, to Ni John Frundi to okay his entry into the government. That's why the paper captions it, "Did French ambassador tell Frundi to get set to succeed Paul Biya?" Turning to any newspaper, we read this story: Anglophone becomes first female public security director. The paper says Jeanette Akenji Ewu Ngeme on 21st September 2015 became the first ever woman to be appointed to the rank of National Director of Public Security. The woman has been described by many observers as a keen listener, very friendly, familiar within the ranks of the police, a perfect example of an African who commands respect. She previously served as senior superintendent of police at the National Security Center in Yaoundé. Her fellow workers nicknamed her mother, the same attribute given her by colleagues in Boya, Limbe, and Bafoussam, where she has worked previously. Lack of infrastructure delays police exam results. According to any newspaper, the Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bangangele, has disclosed that the result of the last entrance exams into the police force are being delayed by the lack of infrastructures to host the trainees in the police training center. The minister made a statement in Bamenda recently while decorating some 10 police officers for a courageous service to the state. Eden newspaper takes a look at this story that has to do with anger in Akwaya as CPTM women protest. The paper reports that hundreds of women militants for the Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, the CPTM party, last week took to the street of the town of Akwaya in Manyu division of the Southwest to pour out their anger on the regime. The women, who were later joined in the protest march by men and youth, had to do with three preoccupying issues, namely their wish to see Akwaya, which is one of the oldest subdivisions in Cameroon, transformed into a full division, the need for the creation of an identification center in the enclave area, as well as the neglect of the subdivision by Elecam in the electoral register renewal process that ended last August. The Times Journal newspaper says the president of the Southwest Court of Appeal, Chief Justice Bechem Eyong Eneke, has reminded the newly installed State Council of Moyoka Court of First Instance and Kemgo Rose Epusi that justice delayed is justice denied, adding that he who comes to equity must come with clean hands. That's all we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Thank you very much, Atanga. Atanasio's Kunikru speculation did not come to pass as the new government is without the SDF. What should be in your mind at this moment? This is a new slot on News Extra. We take a microphone into the wild and just let the public express their state of mind. That too is giving voice to the voiceless.
This is one of my friends who are going to retire. But only for government service for long, and their retirement benefits, they are not even getting them. They hope they are going out, they will struggle for documents, they don't even succeed to get their pension. I want that money to work and pay them. If they don't say no, they give their pension. When they work, when they pay them all one time, they will know how to keep their money after their retirement. Know how to bring in their money. And for the politicians, somebody just dies, so you know how to get their own. We don't suffer, so they go to sleep for free outside for your own day. Okay, the own benefits, you need to get a heat. I think you are warning me today. So if I say, since all regions and they, if in my way for Northwest region, if you go to China, if you make a document for Northwest here, write for Southwest, you open up a document for Southwest, and we will talk about the old book for your own day. Because, you know, we need to go your own day, because all the Cameroon, we're going to Nigeria, we'll make a document for Cameroon. We'll make them.
This is the world for my head now. All the about Bukala. Now I'm a Christian. Now I'm a chef. I'm going to look for church. Because I hear saying that the entire church bomb church. So now I know people come up for 10 o'clock say the work I go. Because of Bukala. Now I go market the fear. Because I hear saying market the key people. We know the people. We will know. Get gone. We know the man with the guy. So look at the boy. He way that the guy. I'm not a man, so this is my life. Nobody said, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind really is the aspect of joblessness in this same county. Imagine a man like me, I've gone to school, came out, I'm packing blocks. Is that really something good for a county? Not something good too. I don't have anything to say apart of they should fight the issue of joblessness in this same county. That's all.
Okay, the thing it is my mind, I say, how if I really struggle day and night over with picking away, I'm going to go farm, I come back, I go market, I find market, I look for way, I feel next more market, forget one or two things for sponsor the day, so I will go for school. When I don't let back the internet, I want to get complaints, come call me for school, say, mommy come for school. I want to get the complaints, say, you know, need to do so for school, it come for school, it come over today, from there now, it is bombing up for school, I feel need to picking up for school, so I can back me for house, I think they will be like the oldest person that I think always appreciate for. Then for some go became jail and say, you should have raised that money for nothing.
Now, which matter they run for your brain?
The matter is wrong for my brain, I said, don't privatize ENS. When our education will come through, we're not supposed to privatize them. Because my education, even if we privatize all things, even say all companies for country, all, but ENS. My education will be there, we are citizens there. If you privatize and now, that's why all people are some 50 for them. You know, some armed robbers. Because every university card of them, they outside, they push truck, they ride Okada, they don't get work. Don't fear the city, you should have a hell of a thing. You don't privatize them again. That's why now you want to really take plans for country. Yes. People increase. Because if you come on that ENS, you don't get work. Let people do that, they go go on for road. And then prostitution go plenty. Yes, if you come on, they don't get work, you go prostitute. And we go prostitute now, it will carry sick. By that time, it will spread over the whole country. So then you say now, anyone will just kill Cameroon and them. They don't have any Cameroon and then die. Yes, because man will come up. Man will be sent to keep a school. Then if you come back, she don't leave her house. How are you going to leave? If you send there to keep a school, you don't go come back. You move that. Mami moves the past to go pick her up. Yes, when I need to give Mami that time, the way Mami don't put his past, whether she's now, you know, getting lost to go do. You know, get money to buy on step past, you go pick Mami or where. And for then I have a problem with house. Then you, the mamita, you will get stressed because you take money, you don't move up. But if you get that picking day, then it come back and she don't do so. Mami be there for people, but I be there for people, heart attack.
Yeah, no matter, no flow, my brain. Nothing at all. Wait to concern life, nothing will change the life the way you feel. So you're different.
Well, I'm waiting for my inner business. Business need worker. None of me go. You put in a knee by. Now, how will we do? We're going to take care for picking them. For example, most parents they carry loads for picking them, they carry responsibility for picking them. So now how we will do as life go, every day life is difficult. How we will do to survive? Because as for me, I don't do all kind of business. I be head better. I don't fry groundnut there. I don't fry. I don't make peanut there. I don't make chin chin. I be fry popof. I be fry akra. But life me see me tough. So how we will do? If I ask, what am I going to do before I survive with children? The thing we do for my head now stay. The thing we can't say, if you do, we will not like them. We are not like them. I say that they collect taxes them. Roads are not there. But every day, pattern this, this, and that. And when man will get good heart, he wake up to go see road or do that kind of thing. So they post to we take and go look and all that kind of thing. Way you know, they find man like me too. I don't know whether I'm the one way there for some other people they have.
Which topic or issue do you have in mind?
The topic or issue that I have in mind is the one of Boko Haram. Because especially in the north region, they're like, they make people very afraid. The people don't like going out more in a crowded place. They're afraid of going to church, going to the market. Just where there's a little crowd, people are already afraid because just of the recent things they did in the north region, they make the country to be like unstabilized. Even in Yaoundé, even in Douala, people are afraid of Boko Haram. So I really think that Boko Haram is a bad issue in Cameroon. It's an issue that we really have to solve out very quickly.
What is in your own mind? Maybe you'll have the opportunity to tell us next week. Interesting feats there from our very wounded Leslie, wrapping up this edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100. The one best way to live a fulfilled life is to work at your best. Same time next week for another edition. Hopefully, it will still be yours. Mokun Johnny Nelson, accept my blessed regards.